Now, Leviticus 26 and 27 are very similar to passages in Deuteronomy, which deal with curses and blessings and curses. God brings blessing to those who follow him and obey his commandments, and curses and judgment upon those who disobey the Lord. But there's one verse in particular that I wanted to look at in this passage, in verse 12, Leviticus 26, verse 12, and it simply says this: I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. In other words, the primary blessing that God has for those who follow him is that he would be their God and that they would be his people. That's the primary blessing. I just want to say this, that God is looking for a people that he can call his own. Now, what that means is, that doesn't mean that he's looking for a people that he can dominate, or that he's looking for a people that he has to use force to get them to comply with his ways. Rather, he's looking for a people who will voluntarily respond to his voice. Very similar to one of the songs that we were singing today about hearing and listening to God's voice, being in a place where we can hear the voice of God. Now, here's a question I want to begin with today, is why do people come to God in the first place? Let's just think about it for a second. Why do people come to God? And I believe there's a number of reasons, but let's just go over some what we'd consider to be normal, everyday reasons, or every life reasons, why people come to God. Number one is maybe during a period like this where there's a lot of terror and so forth going around, maybe it's a realization that things are not in our control, our human control, and therefore we cry out for security, for something bigger and larger that can puts our life at ease and so forth. So people cry out to God during a time of crisis so that they have some form of security. That's one. Maybe there's another reason is the realization that one has to have deeper meaning in life. That's another reason why people come to God. It's because the things of this world, materialism, life generally, doesn't satisfy the deep longings of the heart. There's something more. That's another reason. Maybe another factor is that a person is down on life. Things aren't going well. Things are falling apart and so forth. And so suddenly they're looking out beyond themselves for help and they turn to God. That's another reason why people look to God. Other reasons, maybe somebody is searching for connectedness in their life. There's something missing. You're doing all these things, but there's still something that's not connected with deeper things, and that's another reason. Or maybe they're just simply scared out of hell. In other words, that they are so afraid of what their destiny could be that they're scared right out and they turn to God at that time of need. There's a number of things, but I want you to take a moment now and let's just think. I want you to think back. Think back way into your past. What was it that drew you to the Lord or is drawing you to the Lord? What is it? Just take a second. Think back. For some of you, it's many years. What was it? What's that thing that kind of brought you to him, okay? Well, for me, when I was 17 years old, I went to a meeting that I'd been invited to for a number of times, which I didn't really want to go to, but people were pressuring me to come to this meeting to learn about God, about the Messiah, and so forth. And I wasn't interested. I was not a particularly overly religious person, and so on. But when I got there, there was something there among the people that I was with that I suddenly realized that I was missing in my own life. And it created a hunger in my heart to want to know what is it about them that they seem to have that I don't have. And then I was given a New Testament for the first time, began to read about Yeshua. And as soon as I began to read about him, he seemed to have answers for my life and a connectedness. He provided a connectedness for me to the deeper things of life that I had always been kind of aimlessly searching for throughout my life. And that is what it was that drew me to the Lord. Bottom line, I think there's numerous reasons why people come to God. Maybe innumerable reasons why people come to God, because each person is their own individual and they have their own needs. And God uses those various things to draw them to himself. But God has only one reason why he brings you to himself. See, there's many human reasons why we come to God, but God has only one reason why he draws you to himself. And that is that he can claim a people for himself. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you and for me to become his. And so he's going to do anything that he can to draw us near to him. You see, he's looking for a people that he can enjoy. He's looking for people that he can relate to, that he can communicate with, that are interested in his interests. You thought, you mean God is looking for somebody that's also interested in things that he's interested in? Yes, absolutely. God's emotions and character is very much like human emotion and character because he created us in his image. And so we're not only going to be like him, but he's going to be like us. I mean, that's really what it's all about. He's looking for those who will partner with him in extending his presence and his kingdom throughout the entire earth. That's what the Lord's looking for. And so this, few people understand this when they first come to God. How does God draw people to himself? What happens to a person as they approach the Lord? First, there's usually a drawing to God. Then there's an awakening. Then there's a realization that this is true. There's something about this. Then there's a receiving. And then there's usually a vague commitment to follow. And I mean vague commitment. Because very few of us really know what it means to follow the Lord in the beginning. We have no idea what that really means. What happens is this, shortly after we have given our lives to the Lord, is that suddenly we're faced with challenges and tests as to our commitment to determine who owns you and me. You see, that's what it comes down to for much of the rest of our life. To whom do we belong? And that's where the test goes. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, in fact, I want to talk a lot about Abraham today because that's the portion. For Abraham, which was the portion today and last week, which is about his life, the issue is that God calls him to belong to God, to belong to himself, and what it ultimately requires for Abraham is a separation from his own family. The scripture says in the beginning of Genesis 12 that God calls Abraham out from his family, from his country, and so forth. And so what it means for him is separation from family. I remember that one of my first tests after I'd accepted Yeshua as Messiah was a question of family loyalty. Who was I going to be ultimately loyal to? Was it going to be the Lord or was it going to be my family in this particular case? I remember this. It was a year after I'd become a believer. I now was in college. My parents, during the preceding year, had suspected that I'd come to know the Messiah, but they were obviously afraid of dealing with it. We'd had a confrontation 6 months before where they had found some literature about the Messiah and they got very upset, but I denied believing this, that I was simply searching and so forth. And so it went on. But then, as the year came to a close, I knew that I needed to be able to explain to my parents that I had given my heart and my life to Yeshua the Messiah. And so we set aside this day. It was November 1970. I remember it as if it was yesterday. I went into my parents' home, coming home from a break from school, and I sat them down in the kitchen. I began to explain to them that I believed that Yeshua was the Messiah and that he had made me a completed or a Messianic Jew. Well, that caused a huge confrontation. Both of my parents started weeping at different points. And suddenly I realized at that point that what the cost was going to be to follow the Lord. You see, the question is this, to whom do we belong? Yes, I'm still a child of my parents, but the ultimate question is loyalty to God or to another human and so forth. Now what ends up happening is it becomes a very painful relationship, a very painful confrontation, and then in the ensuing years and so on, what goes on. And I just want to say this, that it's not that God wants to separate families. He doesn't want to separate families. God's goal is to restore families. That's the promises in the scripture. And yet, God must know, to whom do we belong? Where is our ultimate allegiance? Is it to him or is it to another person? Because we will be tested. God will test our loyalty, and to whom do we belong? Well, the portion last week, Lech Lecha, Abraham, it brings Lot with him, his nephew, into the promised land. Now, it's an interesting story. Lot, as I said, was a nephew, was actually the son of Abraham's brother. And Lot's father had died when they were back in this other town, this other city, before they got to the promised land. Now, remember what God said to Abraham. He said, leave your family behind and come with me to this new place. But he brought Lot with him. Now, why is that the case? Because Abraham had become Lot's surrogate father. It was his responsibility now to take care of Lot. And so he had an obligation in his own mind to care for Lot despite what the Lord said. Because the Lord said specifically that he wasn't to do it. And so it's a test. It becomes a test. And now what God's doing here and what he does with everybody is he tests our friendships and even our romantic interests to make sure that we belong to him first before we belong to anybody else. And so he's going to put pressure on these kinds of situations. I remember this. I was still in college in my freshman year. It was now about 6 months later after I'd had a confrontation with my family. I was dating a girl from home. And we were getting ready to go on to a spring break. And I wanted to go home to visit with this girl that I was dating. But suddenly there was an opportunity to go down to Florida with this group that I was with to share our faith on the beaches of Florida. And that meant, you know, not being able to go home and see my girlfriend and so on. And I didn't want to go to Florida, and I wanted to go home. And I've shared this story before, so I'm not going to get into all the details about it. But simply to say that God, through a series of supernatural events, made it abundantly clear that he wants me to go to Florida to do this and not go home and to visit with this girl that I was dating and so on. And after all these signs that God wanted me to do this, I refused to do it. I said, no, God, I'm going to go home. I'm going to do what I want to do and so forth. And then one day, a few days after I'd made this decision, I came to a meeting where a man was giving a talk about Yeshua multiplying the fish and the loaves. And the principle of that story, the man said, was that, if we remember the story, Yeshua multiplies all of this stuff, all this food for these people that they don't have. But the principle of the story, this guy said, was this, that the key to what Yeshua did was that the people gave everything that they had, as little as it was. And once they gave up everything, God was able to multiply it over many, many times over to minister to the thousands who were there. God really convicted my heart when I heard that message, and I realized that I was holding this back, this area of my life, and that I wasn't really willing to relinquish this romantic interest to the Lord. Rather, I wanted to put this first, and God was challenging me to yield this area of my life. And I finally did, and I ended up going to Florida and had literally life-changing experiences while I was down there, because God always blesses those who follow him. It was a test of romantic interests and friendships. Now, Abraham was also called to leave his country and his people. In other words, to relinquish his lifestyle and his future. That's really what God was asking Abraham to do. There's some people in here that are young, and there's other people in here who were young at one time. And I'm sure all of us have had or do have aspirations, dreams of what we would like to do, what we would like to become, and so on. You know, and I remember, you know, having those kinds of dreams as a young person myself. And we have, you know, it's like, yes, this is what I want to give my life to. I remember, for me, growing up, my dreams, my lifestyle, my goals were wrapped up in politics, for those who remember my story. As early as that I can remember, my father was off in doing various political campaigns around the country. He'd be gone for a few months at a time, and then would come back. He was working in the Senate. I would visit him in the Senate at different times. And everything in our lives were involved around political life. I got involved in political campaigns as a teenager. And so that was my heart. I loved politics, and to be honest, I still do love politics. It's part of who I am. And yet, when I went to college, my goal was to enter politics, to eventually run for office someday. That was my dream, my aspiration. And then after my sophomore year in college, God speaks to me, and he says to me, he gives me a choice for my life. And he says, Jamie, he said, you can go into politics if you want, and I will be with you. He says, or you can do my will. And he says, if you do my will, you won't be anybody great in this world, but you'll be great in my kingdom. Now, all of us around here say, yes, that was a simple decision. No, it was not a simple decision. Because I'd only been walking with God for 2 years. I'd been involved in politics my whole life, as long as I could remember. That's who I was. That's my identity. And suddenly God's asking me to give up all my dreams and aspirations and so on. And it was a major wrestling match. I struggled for at least a month, wrestling with that decision. But during that summer, which interestingly, I think is when I met Stacy, by the way. But during that summer, there was a tremendous awakening by God's Spirit in this group that we were with, this congregation that we were in. a tremendous work of the Lord. And suddenly I saw the reality of God so great that it was like, yes, it was worth giving up what I really wanted to do to follow Him, because I knew whatever God had would be so much more rewarding, so much more enriching, so much more fulfilling, and so forth. And so after that month, I finally said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what You've asked me to do, no matter how difficult it is. But there was a problem here, that despite my words, I ended up doing what I told God that I was not going to do. I ended up going into politics after law school. Those of you who know my story, I went into politics, ended up on Capitol Hill. There's a whole long story about that, which I'm not going to get into. But I just want to say this. Just like the story of Abraham is a story of a very human being and a very faithful God. Amen? I want to say that again. The story of Abraham is a story of a very human being and a very faithful God. You see, God said to Abraham that He would ultimately bear a child, and that this child would carry on His promises into his life. Not only for the rest of his life, but carry on the promises of God for the purposes of the kingdom of God. But Abraham is now getting old, and Sarah is barren, his wife, and there doesn't look like there's any hope. And so what happens is there's always Hagar, the maidservant. She could give birth. Now, in Abraham's mind, hey, it fulfills God's promises, because Hagar's child through Abraham is still his child, right? It still fulfills the promise. There doesn't seem to be any problem here. So, okay, I'm just going to take things into my own hand and make sure that we have this child to fulfill. The problem is this, is that Hagar's child through Abraham, Ishmael, was not of God. It was not God's purpose. That's the problem. But I just want to tell you this. Circumstances do not change God's will, okay? Because, as I said, after law school for me, after my marriage, circumstances had changed, okay? Circumstances had changed from when I had received that earlier revelation. And as I said, I went to Capitol Hill because it was convenient, because I had connections, because I had experience. But the problem was, it wasn't God. That was the problem. But you see, Abraham, God did not leave Abraham solely with Ishmael. That's the point. And He didn't leave me there either. And this is the point. God appears again because He wants people that He can call His own. God doesn't just give us one chance and says, oh, well, you missed it, you're out. Boom. In fact, you know what? In God's kingdom, there's no three strikes and you're out. Amen? You see, there's multiple strikes with God. Now, God doesn't want us swinging at bad pitches, okay? He wants us to hit a home run every single time. That's the point. But when we do swing at a bad pitch and we go astray, God is always there, manipulating circumstances, drawing us back, calling us back. That's the principles of the Lord. That's the heart of God, because He's faithful to us. And so what happens is, as we all know the story of Isaac, Isaac gets born, but then you do have a problem, because now you've got Ishmael still in the camp. And the difficulty is this, for Abraham, ultimately, he has to send Ishmael away, and it's very painful. Why? It's because what the decisions we make bear consequences. The Scripture says this, that what we sow, we shall also reap. And if we sow in the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. But if we sow in God's kingdom, then we're going to reap everlasting life and righteousness. And so, yes, God works to manipulate things, to call us back, to get us back on the right track. But when we do make wrong choices, we do suffer the consequences of those choices. That's the way it was. And so for me, it meant that now God's calling me to go into the ministry and so forth, but I have a new life with family, I have a house, I have commitments and so forth. And so He's calling essentially to start over again and to follow Him to seminary where I have no income and eventually to here. And it was a very difficult and painful period, primarily of my own doing. In other words, I'm the one that basically laid that foundation. So God had to undo it and start us over again, but God is faithful who promises. Amen? And it doesn't really matter. Now we come to today's portion, which is Vayera. And this portion is most known for Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. Now this was not covered during the reading, but it's in this portion. And the question is this, why does God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? You see, when God made His first commitment to Abraham, back in Genesis chapter 12, when He called Abraham out of Babylon, which is where he was living, Iraq, He makes a special relationship with him, which in the ancient world is known as the covenant of strong friendships. It's the most serious covenant that could be made in the ancient world. And what this covenant required was this, is that the one party of the covenant could require the other party to the covenant to relinquish at any time that person's most prized possession and give that possession to the other party. That's how serious this covenant was. Very, very serious covenant. Now, if the party asks the other one for the most prized possession and they give it to him, then the other party is bound to do the same, to give back the most prized possession to the other person as well. Now, Isaac was God's will. He was the child of the promise. He was the one that Abraham and Sarah had been waiting for a long time. Abraham's life existed to bear Isaac into this world. And now God asks for him back, to slay him, to sacrifice him. Seems really strange. How can that be? See, all the other choices that Abraham had to make in his life were choices between Abraham's way and God's way. But now, and the differences were clear. You see, the choices were clear. It was difficult, but they were clear choices that Abraham had to make. But now, God is asking Abraham to sacrifice that which is of God, the very thing that Isaac, that Abraham was born for. God is asking Abraham to give it back to God and for it to be gone. How can that possibly be? Why? The question is this. To whom do we belong? Do we belong to our potential? Do we belong to our calling? Do we belong to the gifts that God has given us? Or do we belong to Him? That's what the issue is. And so it becomes a huge test, this massive test for Abraham. Now I believe, and I'm going to say this seriously, that I believe that there's some here to which this story applies that are in this room today. You don't understand what God has taken from you. You don't understand that it seemed to have been the very thing that you lost was the very thing that seemed to have been that God gave to you in the beginning. And it doesn't make any sense. And you're saying, and so for many of us, we don't know what to do. And so we think, well, maybe we missed something along the way. Maybe we were sinful. Maybe God's just judging us. Maybe there's something that I did that was wrong, or that person did that was wrong, or whatever it is. Maybe I just got off track, and so God has just taken that thing away. And I just want to say this, that it's got nothing to do with you, and it has all to do with God. And the question is this, to whom do you belong? It's the hand of God that does these things a lot of times. Maybe not everything that happens in our lives is God's will, but God uses everything for His purposes. And we have to believe it and trust it. Anything that we have and that we yield to God, He returns back to us. And He multiplies it many times over. Maybe not in the same way, but in reality, it's multiplied many times over. Now, in the case of Abraham and Isaac, it's true. Abraham got Isaac back. But more importantly, his yielding of Isaac to the Lord, which was Abraham's most prized possession, bound God to do the same with his most prized possession, which was to give his son to Abraham's descendants. That is what Abraham did. He did not know that he was going to get Isaac back, but what he did know was that he had given himself to the Lord. He had to give whatever God asked of him, and when he did, he changed the entire world by that decision. Abraham's made an extraordinarily painful and almost impossible choice. How could you do such a thing? But it changed the history of the world. And by that act, Abraham proved that he belonged to God. That's what he did. The same is true for you and me. See, our choices, especially the more painful ones, when we yield them to God, they will change the world. It's not that our choices like that may change the world, or it could change the world. When you make a choice to belong to God, to yield up something that's important, it will change the world. It will change the world. That's just the bottom line. That's what ends up happening. What I want to do today, I want to close with this. What is God calling you to yield to him? What is God calling you to yield? Now, for some, it may not be anything relevant. But for some, there is something. And for some, God has already taken that which you've yielded, and you don't understand why he took it. And my answer to you is this, that he's the one who took it. And he will multiply it back because he made his promise. And so just to receive that insurance is important. But the challenge is, what are you holding back? Is it your future? Is it your family? Is it your children? Or parents? Or spouses? Or a job? Or a plan to go someplace? What is it that God is asking you? He's been tugging. And for some, he's been asking for a long, long time. And for some, you've even gone off the path. And you said no. You just went off a different way. But God's faithful because he's still drawing back. Okay? It's a difficult choice. I'm not going to say it's not difficult. Okay? It's difficult and it's painful. But it's always worth it. It is always worth it. Because God is faithful who promised. You can look at Abraham. What God asked Abraham to do is probably unlikely that he would ask anybody else ever to do. And that choice changed the world. You can too. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for each of us in this room today, Lord. Father, you're asking, your question to each of us today is, do we belong to you? Do we really belong to you? Or is it just in word only, Lord God? Has following you become just convenient? Or is it truly worth it, Lord? Is it truly costly? Is it truly to show our lives to be an image of what you've called us to be, Lord? Father, I know there's more for me to give up, and I know there's more for others to give up, oh God. And Father, I just pray in the name of Yeshua, Lord, you'd cause us to say yes. There may be even some in here that have never even given up their life at all to the Messiah. They're afraid. They don't really believe. You don't believe. But you know it's true. You know deep down it's true that God is real and that Yeshua is his Messiah. You know it's true. It's just you've been running. You've been avoiding this point of decision. But this is the point that you don't want to miss. You don't want to go off track again. And Father, I pray for that person or people in here right now, oh God, that are saying, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm scared, but I'm ready. I'm going to put myself into your hands. I'm going to receive Yeshua as my Messiah. I want my sins to be forgiven and wiped away. I want to give my life to God. I want to know you, Lord, and to know all of your riches and your fullness, Lord. And I want to walk with you with the rest of my life. Even though I don't fully understand, I want what you have, oh God. And I yield myself to you, and I receive the Messiah into my life. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for each of us here who do know you, Lord, but we know we're holding something back. We know you're tugging, you've been calling, and we say, yes, God, Father, help me. Help me even in my unbelief to say yes, to say I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to yield whatever it costs, whatever it is. Lord, I'm going to give this thing so that I can show that I belong to you, oh God. And Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I trust you with my life, and in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.